A regulatory crackdown is coming for China's tech giants. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Chinese state media reports the country's president, Xi Jinping, is calling for tougher oversight of the nation's internet companies. The aim is reportedly to crack down on monopolistic practices and encourage more fair competition. That sent shivers through financial markets in Hong Kong and Shanghai. Shares of companies including Tencent have dropped on worries they'll have to break up their businesses to meet more stringent operating requirements. The BBC's Katie Silver has more on that.
President Xi Jinping said that how they develop isn't standard and that currently risks exist. He says that more oversight is needed to prevent monopolies, promote fair competition, and to stop what he called disorderly expansion of capital.
So, Katie, what will the crackdown involve for companies like Tencent? Will they be perhaps required to sell off parts of their business in order to comply with these new rules?
That could well be one of the consequences. So, for example, with Tencent, we saw them lose $62 billion, or about 8% in 2 days of trade, basically end of last week and start of this week. And that was after they got a fine for not seeking prior approval for some of their investments. We saw Alibaba find something similar back in December. Now, this was a nominal fine, but the reason we saw such a big share slide, really, is because for investors, they've been waiting for this. They've been fearful that Tencent would follow in the steps of Ant Group or Alibaba, attracting the wrath of Beijing. And of course, we all remember when the Ant IPO was quite historically blocked at the end of last year. So there is definite fears that this could have carryover effects for the likes of Uber's equivalent in China, Didi, and the e-commerce giant JD.com.
So why the crackdown now, do you think? And what does it mean, really, for those companies' ability to compete with other tech giants?
It could well mean them having to break up their fintech companies, and that right now investors are saying, for instance, that it's better to be a little player in China than one of these big ones that is attracting the wrath of Beijing.
The BBC's Katie Silver for us in Singapore. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thanks.
Checking the numbers now, benchmarks across Asia and here in Europe are solidly higher this morning. The Stoxx 600 index is up about 0.5%, closing in on last year's record high. Investors appear optimistic about the longer-term prospects for an economic recovery across the region from the pandemic. That's despite Germany and France now joining the list of 11 nations temporarily suspending the use of the Oxford-AstraZeneca coronavirus vaccine. The World Health Organization says no link has been established between the vaccine and blood clots. AstraZeneca goes further, saying there's a lower incidence of clots in people who have had the vaccine than in the general population. Well, just weeks after Australia passed a controversial law aimed at making tech platforms pay for news content, Facebook has signed a 3-year deal with News Corporation to pay for its journalism. The BBC's Shama Khalil has more from Sydney.
Rupert Murdoch's empire controls about 70% of newspaper circulation in Australia, and the 3-year deal covers all of News Corp's content in the country. So although the value hasn't been disclosed, it will be a significant amount. Analysts looking at the country's media law have said that one major concern was that it seemed primarily designed to help big firms like News Corp without offering much to smaller media titles, which have suffered the most from lost advertising revenue.
Shaima Khalil there. A school meal is about so much more than food, as the pandemic put renewed focus on what schools should provide children. The BBC's Emily Thomas explains how losing access to school meals during lockdown has cost not just kids, but their families as well.
There are hundreds of millions of children around the world who are relying on their free school meal. It may well be their main source of nutrition and often the only proper meal they'll get in a day. But for a family living in poverty, the free school meals their children are given may represent quite a significant proportion of their total monthly income. But this is about more than the cost of food. This is Wawira Najara, who runs a charity in Kenya called Food for Education, which provides free and subsidised school lunches.
To me personally, the school meal means dignity. I've seen a lot of kids come to school and not know what to do with themselves at lunchtime. They're hungry. And for me, a school meal gives a child the ability to play, to laugh, the ability to go to class and learn.
So Emily, Wawira actually took action. She took matters into her own hands, didn't she?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many examples from around the world of governments and organisations being very slow to act and children going hungry for weeks when the schools closed. But this charity had technology that helped it respond almost immediately.
We have this technology called Tap to Eat, where parents contribute for meals using mobile money, like lunchtime ATM card, which is in the form of a wristband. So we decided to use this technology to map out where parents are located and where they live, and then create distribution centers close to them and then reach them to distribute the meals to them.
So a success story there in Kenya. And obviously, this is not a problem that's just limited to that country, but it's one that we've seen in countries all over the world.
Yeah, it was a global crisis. 90% of the world's school children were sent home during the pandemic. So there were hundreds of millions of families going without. And even the United Nations World Food Programme's School Feeding Division said they found it a challenge. There are glimmers of hope coming through, though. The experts we spoke to on the food chain agreed that the crisis has put the importance of free school meals in the spotlight, and governments are realising just how much of a safety net they are. The World Food Programme told me it knows of 79 countries, including the UK and the US, who are now rethinking their free school meal programmes.
The BBC's Emily Thomas, host of The Food Chain, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, more action just today. England's new children's commissioner, as part of a pledge to rebuild childhood after the pandemic, said measures like free school meals should be extended into summer vacation. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.